There it is.
What's up, motherfucker?
Hell yeah. Go from there. Trevante Jaramillo, Kill Trend Radio. Hopefully there's a few of you hanging out. This one's going to be fun. And even if you don't check this out live on Kill Trend Radio, shit, killtrendradio.com.
killtrendradio.com.
This will be a podcast as soon as this is over. So, ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you one of my favorite reasons for joining Facebook ever. Just all-around badass actress, model, front woman of Sorrow Seed, Miss Lilith Astaroth. How are you, my love?
Hey, I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you. We got a lot to get into here today, folks, and people are already complaining that the audio is bad. You know what, Jamie? Maybe it's because you are in the UK, and I can't really help your shitty internet connection. How about that?
Well, you know, we've got to work with what we got. My phone connection's a little fuzzy, too, so I might need you to repeat things now and then, because my phone is a piece of shit. But, you know.
What kind of person like you? Right? What kind of person like you doesn't have Skype? What are you doing with yourself?
What am I doing right now?
No, why don't you have Skype? Why are we on a burner phone in Baltimore like The Wire?
Oh, I think the last time we chatted, I was in Baltimore, right? I was going to like maybe was it MagFest or something like that.
You know, I don't know what we were doing. Yeah. I look back, and it was back in March of last year. That's how long it's been since we got after the podcast. As far as I remember, you were involved with the mask can thing. You were on tour.
Yeah.
You were on tour with the horrors of
the damsel in the dark.
There you go. Sorry, I didn't mean to say horrors.
Oh, wow. It's hard to believe that was already a year ago. Time really flies.
Yeah. And you've been at like some crazy shit in the last year, and I just want to get into that, you know. What have you been up to like lately? I noticed that the band stuff has kind of backed off a little bit. Like, what are you up to right now?
Oh man, I've been so crazy busy. I'm being like split into 8 different directions right now. With lately, I've been picking up the acting stuff has been picking up a little bit. So right now, I'm in the middle of filming 2 projects, and one of them is filming in New Hampshire, and the other one is filming in Rhode Island. So it's basically a lot of driving every single day. I go from one project to the other, and it's a little hectic, you know. It's fun, but it's definitely a little tough keeping up with all the travel sometimes. So I'm going to be wrapping up one of those projects later next week, so that should give me a little bit more breathing room. Looking forward to that. That one's called Point Society. I'm going to have info on that in the coming months. Right now we're just, you know, in the kind of halfway stages of filming. It's going to be a TV series. And the other project is called Redemption. That one's going to be a full-length feature film. And that one is in the horror genre. And we actually have Mike Myers from the original Halloween who's going to be on that one. He's visiting Rhode Island this weekend. So on Sunday and Monday, we're going to be filming with him, which is really exciting.
That's cool, man. How did they get hooked into him?
Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
How did they get hooked in with him?
How did I get involved in him?
Yeah, with this, what's it?
Well, I guess I've been sort of building my acting resume over the last couple of years, and it started to have a little bit of a snowball effect, which is good. Unfortunately, though, that does kind of leave me with less time for the other things that I love to do, such as music. It's been pretty hard to really have time for much else with this hectic filming schedule lately, but we're going to be getting back into the jam space in a few weeks and starting to practice for some shows that we've got coming up towards the end of the summer. So I'm getting pretty excited about that because I need my screen therapy, you know?
Yeah, for sure. How did the last record do?
How did the last what do?
The last record. Was it, I can't
remember. Oh, it's been pretty good. We've been getting a lot of attention for it. I actually was just checking my email this morning, and I have, I had a person asking if they could include our opening track on their compilation, our opening track being Arcana of the Lich Queen, which is one of my favorites off Nemesis Engine, because it's so fucking badass and epic. So it's a new one. We're going to be planning to shoot a video for one of the songs in a few weeks, so we're starting to lay out all the details for that. I think that's going to be happening in New Hampshire as well.
Let me ask you kind of a weird question. Like, I was talking to my buddy Jim about this, and like one of the things that, like, with somebody like you, I mean, there's definitely like a persona, there's a thing that you're, you know, you're selling and all that kind of stuff. For somebody like me, I don't like to, you know, pull back the veil on any of that stuff. I want to just like let it be, like, however everything comes about, that's how it comes about. Like, how often do you actually get like offers, or, you know, even somebody like me, I didn't want to reach out to you, 'cause I figured you'd be like, well, what is that going to do for me? The first time, this time, like, we're friends and it's fine. But like, how often does that shit happen?
Well, I mean, I get a lot of different emails. It can be difficult sometimes. Like, I really need a personal assistant, but I do my best to keep up with things, on my own. And, you know, lots of stuff comes in, like, hey, do you want to work on this project? Or, hey, does your band want to play this show? It happens every week, and it's, right now, it's sort of a matter of really looking at things objectively and saying, you know, is this going to be worth the investment of time right now? Because my time is just so, you know, I have such little free time that, like, every hour is accounted for sometimes. You happen to catch me at a good day. This is my first Friday off in a long time. And so I'm just kind of chilling around the house today until I head out to an event later tonight for Point Society. It's like a promo party. But, you know, lately it's been hard to even just have time to myself. So it's kind of like people find me through various mediums, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or, you know, just regular email. And it's definitely nice to know that people want to work with me and stuff, but I can't always say yes to everything, you know? It's like, I need a clone or two.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you and I were just talking about that, because, like, this this live thing on Kill Trend, which I really love, and if anybody's out there wants to check this out, check this out. This is my favorite part of what happened this week. I finally broke down and got a phone line for callers, right? And there's a website. There's a website that you can go plug in the 10 digits, and it'll give you like a word that would be associated with the keypad. So if anybody's out there and wants to holler at Lilith and I, all you got to do is take your little cell phone and dial 970-3-MORON-6. How great is that?
You got to pick that number?
No, it was just given to me, and then I went on this website, and I was like, it gives you a lot of, like, things that, you know, they don't mean anything, and that was just the one. I'm like, it's kind of perfect, you know, if, for me and for this show.
That's awesome. It's kind of I was laughing when I saw that. That's really crazy. When did you switch over to Kill Trend Radio? Because the last time we talked, it was just the Go From There podcast, but you seem to have moved into a new domain.
A little bit of sorts. It's kind of a long story that I'm not going to tell all about, but basically my buddy's Dimes and all his DJs started this thing. I don't even really know when they started, but they get a decent following, you know, and like, even from me, like, I got a pretty sweet bump in new people on Facebook and on the podcast and all that kind of stuff. Probably 3 weeks ago was when all this stuff started kind of forming, and it's kind of an experiment. GoFromThere.podbean.com is definitely still the place to go. iTunes, you know, all that kind of stuff. The podcast is still rolling. As soon as we're done with this will be part of the podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a bit of an experiment, and if it keeps going as well as it does, I might just hang around. So we'll see how it goes.
Cool. I wish you luck in your endeavor there. It sounds like it's going well.
Well, thank you, my love. Let's give a little love to these, like, we've only got, let's see, 4 or 5 people here, which is a little sad. I wish it had been more than that. But here's the cool part. Two of them are across the pond. So I just want to say hi to Alexander, my big baby girl, and Jamie Wilson, podcast super fan. This fucking asshole. Alexander just messaged me. He says, you doubled your listeners from 3 to 6. Big bump, you cunt. What a jerk. What a jerk. I want to get into, not to get too heavy too quickly, but you're still involved in Mass Can, is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm still, I was re-elected to the board this year.
Can you explain what that
we're
is,
still,
really?
We're still making progress. Oh, yeah, sure. So MassCan is short for the Massachusetts Cannabis Coalition, and it's a branch of NORML, which is the National Organization for Marijuana Reform across the U.S. And so right now, our goal that we've been working steadily towards for the last few years is to make cannabis completely legal in Massachusetts by 2016. And recently, we've been financially backed by the MPP, who is the Marijuana Policy Project, and they've been making a ton of strides across the country. Like, they're basically the organization responsible for all of the changes that have been going forth and all of the upward movement we've been getting. So we're really excited about that, that they're helping us out, because they can see that we're close to reaching our goal, but financially it's, you know, kind of a hurdle, because a big part of getting questions to be voted upon on a ballot is you need thousands and thousands and thousands of signatures. And we've all done our part, and we've kind of gone out and collected signatures by hand, but it's really difficult to do it on foot, especially in Boston, because people are rude, or they're in a rush on their way to work, they don't want to be bothered, and, you know, it's difficult. I mean, I stood out in near Harvard Square one afternoon in Cambridge for a couple hours, and I think I only got about a dozen signatures, so it's really not the best investment of our personal time to be collecting the signatures on foot, but, you know, we had to do something. So, but now that the MPP has got our back, we're, you know, pretty confident that this law is going to pass. It's just right now it's a matter of promoting kind of public awareness for the issues, and, you know, we're not just promoting cannabis use, but we, you know, hemp is such an important resource that we're not using right now. You know, so much stronger and more durable than cotton. It's really healthy. You know, there's a lot of hemp supplements that you get, and this stuff is just all really expensive right now because it's not very widely available. So hopefully, you know, over time and as other states kind of catch up to where we're at and where, like, Colorado and Washington are at, we'll start to see some of those prices drop so that it can become more affordable. And For a lot of people, cannabis is legitimate medicine that is the only thing that can help them, because a lot of people don't want to take pharmaceuticals and they don't want to be on pills that are giving all sorts of negative side effects and consequences to your health. So, you know, it's not cool that, especially for the elderly population, that they have to kind of be secretive about getting their medicine and or potentially get into dangerous situations trying to get their preferred medicine. So, you know, there are many reasons why we're all in favor of this, and hopefully over the next decade or so, the rest of the country will catch up.
What is what's the pushback as far as, like, legalization and all that kind of stuff? Is it just like every other place in the country where they just don't really quite get it yet? Or, because, like, how jealous are you right now that I'm literally within walking distance of a no card needed marijuana dispensary?
I'm very jealous.
And, you know, the reports have come out. I could look it up here and actually have facts, but why would I do that? You know, the tax revenue alone in the first 6 months or 3 months maybe. I don't remember exactly when the whole thing started, but it's ridiculous money. And I'm not even sure what the...
Oh, yeah.
What the,
oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that's, like, that's another thing. It's like, think of all the revenue that can be generated through this, you know?
Well, so what's the problem there?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the pushback is still a lot of the bad media that used to come out a long time ago. People still have it in their heads that it's like, you know, the devil's weed and it's going to make you crazy and stuff like that. So we have to kind of combat that with scientific evidence that it does have medicinal value and things like that. And also people are often like, oh, well, you know, it's the gateway drug and this and that. But, I mean, actually, I haven't really looked into numbers and statistics in a little while, but the crime rate in you know, California and places that have legalized has not gone up. You know, if anything, it's gone down, and it's kind of like removing a lot of that drug war stuff. But, you know, some people are just so programmed by all of the old media. That's one of the biggest hurdles in changing people's minds. So one of the things that we at NASCAN are doing is approaching our city hall, our town hall in each city that we live in to speak with them about the benefits. And we're also going to be trying to educate the elderly population because, you know, they're the ones who kind of grew up with all this bad propaganda. So we're going to be going to elderly homes and speaking about the benefits of medicinal cannabis. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get all of those people to vote in favor for it when the time comes.
I'm going to have Jamie and Alexander weigh in because I don't know what – is it legal there? Is it like – I don't know what's going on where they live.
Well,
I'd like to hear what they say.
Decriminalized in mass up to an ounce. So if you're carrying for personal use and it's just in one baggie, like they can't legally do anything.
I mean in Scotland and in UK. I want to know what they – if they know what the difference is.
I have no idea. I haven't really.
Alexander says not legal here. So that's Scotland. Let's see what Jamie says when he pops in. Just from the DenverPost.com, I'm looking at a headline. It says, Colorado marijuana tax revenues total $3.2 million in February. What the fuck?
Wow.
Who?
This 1 month? That's crazy.
How is this not a no-brainer, you know?
I know. I mean, that's what I've been saying, you know, this whole time. It's like, think of how much revenue that we could totally fix this economy, you know? It could totally turn things around.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
We're making progress slowly but surely, and I think that within the next decade, most, if not all, states are going to have at least partial legalization. You know, I have a feeling that some of the states are going to kind of dig in their heels and fight it, but, I mean, it's happening. It's already begun. Massachusetts is going to be one of the next states to legalize. And, you know, that's great. And once our work here is kind of done, I plan on helping out some of the neighboring states in New England because they're kind of more far behind us. Massachusetts is kind of in the lead as far as the northeastern region of the U.S. So, you know, those guys could use our help. So I'm all about it. You know, I spent a decent amount of time in all of the northeastern states, and it kind of sucks having to worry about carrying a bowl with you or something when you're crossing state lines because the laws are so different in each state. But we're getting to the point now in New England where it's mostly decriminalized, so that's definitely a step in the right direction. And, you know, as time goes on, it seems like the movement's kind of sweeping across the country, and it's great to see all of these other states making progress.
I love the fact that these guys are with us, making it fun for us. Jamie comes in and says, nope, we are not as far ahead of you Yanks, so apparently still illegal. And then Alexander comes in, and of course he's a shit starter, okay, pot stirrer, kind of a dick. he goes, there's a shock, Americans thinking about revenue over health, big shock. That's not what we were saying, asshole, it's just a thing, you know, maybe I might be able to have non-fucking pothole roads and maybe a better school system if people get on board with this. Not that I have kids or that matters to me at all, but whatever. Also, Great Blue Dini, thank you for joining us on Twitter. He's asking if I am Flotsam or Jetsam because he hears us talking, but the now plane says some Jason Newsted shit. So, but thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. Alexander. God damn it. All right, let's see what else we got here. Shit. Oh, but what I was just going to ask you about the health issue stuff. I'm not sure if you came across this or if this was on your radar at all, but there's been, you know, a handful of children, you know, with some conditions. Like, I think
I have been reading a little bit about this.
What do you let me go a little further. I think one was like a cancer patient. One was someone that suffered from seizures. I'm not sure if it was just epilepsy or some other thing. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, at first I was kind of like, I guess I wasn't enthusiastic about the idea of giving cannabis to a child because your brain's still in development until you're about 18. So that's kind of, I guess I feel like that could be risky in a way, but if the health benefits are greater than that risk, then, you know, I am in favor of it because, for example, there's a strain called Charlotte's Web that was developed somewhat recently for a little girl who had really violent seizures all the time. And so they kind of, they developed a strain so that they extracted the THC from it so that there's no, you know, there's no ways that she would get high from it, but it was able to significantly reduce her seizures. And so this strain is now available in California. And, I think it's great that you can kind of tweak nature a little bit the way that you want it and do it in a beneficial way.
I apologize for laughing, but not Jamie and Alexander are fighting with each other. When you said that the brain is still in development, Jamie comes in and says, Alexander's is still in development. And I sort of agree with that. fucking assholes. I apologize for the interruptions and stuff, but I'm glad they're here. And I wish you could see all their stuff here.
Is that in like a chat room?
Well, there is a chat room on killtrendradio.com, people. There's a little chat button. Just hit there and join the chat. There's no one in the chat on there right now because this is an odd time of day for everyone. But they're just getting after it on my Facebook timeline right now. So.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That's cool. Well, I'm glad people are paying attention. I hope that some of my people are listening in too. I definitely made sure to
talk about it
a few times.
You got after it for sure. Yeah, I'm looking at a post.
Well, you know, you kind of like there's so much competition for people's attention online. You know, like people talking about their pets or what they had for breakfast or like
you know what though?
So you gotta kind of like stand on your like soapbox and yell in people's faces sometimes for them to even know something's going on.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna call you out on something. I know you're a bit of a food fan. Like
a
food fan. You constantly post
that I'm a foodie.
Yeah, you constantly post where you are, what you're eating. Like, why do you do that to me?
No, I don't do it constantly. I would say I'd probably do that like once a week.
It just makes me laugh because it seems like something that you would definitely not do, but you keep doing it, and it just, I don't know, just cracks me up.
It's not that often. I mean, some people do it on a daily basis.
You know, every once in a while, I find myself reaching for my phone, and I'm like, don't be that guy. What are you doing? You know?
Well, the other thing is, too, like, I always tag the location because if I have something that's really good, I want to fucking remember where it was at, you know? Like, I smoke too much weed to remember fine details, like, a week later, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So it kind of acts as a, I use Facebook a lot for my own personal timeline, and sometimes I post shit that really isn't relevant to anybody else, but I don't really give a shit because it's my timeline, you know?
Let me ask you something real quick.
If you don't like it, hide it.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you something. Being you, and, you know, I see a lot of weird things with models and photographers and stuff going on. Lots of people getting offended by images and all that kind of stuff. Like, do you face that a lot? Because, I mean, you literally will post a picture of you topless with a latex X across your nipples.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of blowback
from people? Or naked in a pool of blood, which is my current profile picture.
Which I enjoy thoroughly, thank you. even so far, like, I don't want to... I was going to say who it is, but I'm not going to. A model that I know...
Well, I mean, to answer your question, like, people do report the photos sometimes. Most of the time, they don't get removed. But I got kind of pissed off about a month ago when, you know, I logged into Facebook and it was like, one of your pages is suspended right now. I'm like, what the fuck? So I go there and it's the Saracy page because some douchebags have been reporting a photo of me in just, you know, latex paint. Completely covered everything, but somehow they removed it anyway, which is complete bullshit because I've seen much worse on Facebook that didn't get taken down. But it's just kind of like, really, you're going to suspend my page because of one photograph that, like, some person at Facebook decided was breaking standard, even though it wasn't. So I get a little bit of shit that I have to deal with sometimes. But I basically, when I'm posting shit online, I try to keep it, you know, within guidelines, like without questions, so I don't have to deal with stuff like that. And I do try to keep it tasteful. Like, you know, I'm not one for really posting a ton of nude shots that are just, you know, like whole frontal kind of stuff, like there's going to be some kind of artistic purpose to it, you know?
Sure. Well, what I was getting at, when you deal with that stuff, like in a rush, let's say, do you ever look at like all the inroads that you've made and all the little, you know, all the situations you're in, like music, cosplay, modeling, do you ever look at any of those activities and be like, you know what, fuck all this shit? Like, and the reason I'm asking you, no, hang on, let me quantify
this. Well, actually, it's funny you mentioned the cosplay stuff, because when I talked to you last year, I was kind of like full swing into my exploration of that whole genre, because I hadn't really been into it before, and I was like, you know what, I've met quite a few people this year who are really into this whole con thing and like really into cosplay, and like, you know, I've done a few good character interpretations, I think, anyway. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to go like full force into this whole scene and like just see what this is all about. And dude, I got to tell you, after doing that for a year, I was kind of like, man, like, I'm not really that into it. Like, I kind of, you know, got it out of my system. I did my thing. I'm not saying I'll never do it again. I'll probably do it at some point in time. But like, I'm really not into the whole con thing that much. It's kind of like, honestly, dude, and you're going to laugh, but this is so true. Cons are a place to go for, like the fat, like, loser dweebs and stuff who can never get laid. And they get laid at these cons with each other. Like, that's the big appeal of a lot of this lifestyle, I feel like. Like, it's really gross. It's incestuous.
Wait. Like, what
I mean,
do you mean?
I kind of watched... So I kind of watched from the sidelines, because I had a couple of friends involved with, like, a couple of different friend groups, and so, you know, I just would catch all the drama, like, oh, this person's hooking up with this person at this con. Oh, well, you know, the next day they were hooking up with this person at the con. Or, like, some people were like, well, I can't go to this con anymore because, like, so-and-so, like, had an orgy in my bedroom and I don't want to see them again. And, like, you know, just, it's really kind of gross. I mean, one of the kids that I know, he's just, like, a serial con, like, goer, and his main purpose is just to go and like shag as many chicks as possible. I mean, you know, all power to him and stuff, but it's just kind of like, this is the kind of person who would never get a second look in real life, you know what I mean?
Well, but
so it's kind of like,
didn't you know that
if you're if you're having trouble fitting in or whatever, you know, you need an outlet, nobody understands you, you know, maybe you have Asperger's or something, which a lot of these kids do. I have nothing against that. I mean, my drummer's got Asperger's, and he's a wonderful kid and very, very smart. But you know what I mean? It's like anybody who's kind of like, you know, never really gotten any attention. It's like, all right, well, let me just throw on this skimpy ass outfit, and now all these like gross guys want to do me. All right, that's cool.
On the flip side of that, because like you were in Florida or something recently.
You roll with
this whole harem of like of people like you, like, you know, tits all pushed up, and like, aren't you part of the problem?
Well, I mean, I'm not going there to get laid. I'm usually going there to work. For fetish events, I'm usually performing or domming or doing something like that. Like, that wasn't really a vacation for me, you know. It was more of a kind of like a business thing. I do a few business trips a year that are fetish related, and I've got a couple coming up in August as well. And you know, it's a little bit, my purpose isn't to just go and have orgies with people. I'm really not interested in casual sex. So I brought a friend of mine named Jenny to Fetish Factory. She had never been to one of these events before, and she was having a great time. And so at one point in the night, I wasn't feeling that good, so I went upstairs, and I left her with all of my friends. I'm like, you'll be fine, right? Dude, she gets fucking roofied in, like, the hour that I wasn't with her. She gets fucking roofied, and luckily, we were able to kind of, you know, she came back upstairs with everyone before the effects had started to kick in. But it's just like, so, you know, we kind of were able to laugh at it when it was all over, but, I mean, that's just fucked up. that's the MO of some of these fucking people that go there. I mean, dude, these are like nasty fucking people. you know, and they're just walking around naked and shit. And I'm like, man, I don't want to fucking see that shit. Like, I'm going back to my room. Fuck it. So, although I am frequenting a lot of these events and stuff, like, it comes down to the basic fact that I still don't really like people that much in general. So I really only have, like, a certain amount of tolerance before I'm just like, all right, I'm done for the night.
Alexander, I think when you said not into casual sex, he turned the corner with you. He liked you to start off with, and now he's not so sure.
What was that?
I think when you said no casual sex, he turned the corner. Like, he liked you at first, and now he's not real sure. So.
Oh, no. I'm so concerned. Oh, no.
Just so you know, you would totally bang Alex. Not really. I don't know.
All right.
Oh, there you go.
Have you been to any of these events yourself?
No. I badly want to go. I know Denver has a couple. Hang on one second. Jamie just said, ask Lilith if she likes Miley. And then he goes right after it in a different comment, Cyrus. Who the fuck do you think I would think you're talking about, dude? Of course, Miley Cyrus.
I'm not even going to answer that question. I think that should be pretty obvious to anybody who knows me at all.
I don't know. Is that a no?
We'll leave it at that. I'll just, you know, I'll skip the euphemisms. But in a word, no.
In a word, no. Fair enough.
You should totally try to get out to one sometime. Just for the experience. Like, just go there to fucking people watch. And you will see exactly what I'm talking about.
No, but
it's really, really amusing.
Can you just go, like, and just look at stuff? Like, isn't that weird? Shouldn't I dress up as something? Fucking Alexander.
Well, I mean, they do offer programming of sorts at these events, usually. They have panels where you can go and fucking be nerdy and talk about nerd shit. But what you're really interested in is the social aspect of it. So you want to just kind of, like, you want to scope around, you know, and you're a friendly guy, so I'm sure that you wouldn't have any trouble finding a few people to party with, and that's when things kind of get really interesting, you know, going back to the room parties where people are just starting to get a little, getting a little sloshed, and, you know, things start happening. It's just, the dynamic is hilarious, because, like, you've got these total nerds, but they're, you know, they're all, like, getting freaky, or trying to get freaky, and it's just, I don't know. I really shouldn't be making fun, you know, to each their own, but to me, it's kind of funny.
I feel like if I went to do that I would, because, I mean, I like to smash my friends. I don't like to smash people that I don't really know, and I feel like if I went and did that, that's, like, all I would do, and I would just end up feeling bad about myself, so I don't know. I'll definitely check one out. I want to go to a... I mean, are they all the same? Like, let me ask. Like, if you go to a Comic-Con, if you go to a Comic-Con or you go to, like, a BlizzCon or something like that, like, isn't it the same? Like all outfits are
they're kind of all the same. Okay. Yeah, I mean, they might have a different theme, but they're all basically the same sort of situation. It just depends on kind of, like, some of them are really big. New York Comic-Con is huge. Like, that one's a little bit too crowded for me. But if you find one of the more moderately sized ones, you'll probably be a little more comfortable and, you know, you can kind of scope things out a little bit easier. But, I mean, you know, I do have to hand it to the whole cosplayer community, because some of those people make really beautiful things from hand, you know. Like, I don't have the time for that kind of stuff. Like, I'm way too busy with everything else that I do, and nor do I have the patience or what I want to sit there and, like, handcraft fucking props and fake weapons and all that kind of shit. But if you look at what some of these people do, it is really impressive. So, I mean, there is that. There is sort of an impressive aspect to it.
Can you can you get somebody to, like, make you a costume? Because,
that's what I usually do. I've had two costumes commissioned before for cosplay purposes, because I was like, you know what, there's no fucking way in hell I'm going to sit here and sew for, like, 8 hours. Just, no.
I think the ones that I love are like the giant, like, robot type of stuff, like the Transformer stuff, or like those people that get after the BioShock dude.
I saw a kid making a making some sort of, like, Transformers, like, outfit before, and he was taking this, like, kind of soft, bendable plastic and melting it with a hairdryer and shaping it and doing all kinds of cool shit, and I was like, wow, dude, like, you're really into your craft there, and I guess he made, like, mad money doing it, too, so, I mean, there's also money to be made in the community. Supposedly, I've heard that models can make money in the cosplay community, but I haven't fucking made any money from it, you know? Like, oh, so someone's gonna pay me to dress up like fucking Superman or something? What?
Oh, thank you for that post, Alex. That's awesome. Rob O'Leary, my big baby girl and sometimes co-host of this show in studio, front man of Ancient Wind. I don't know if you guys are friends on Facebook, if you know of this man. If you've ever seen the Positivity Thursday meme on my page, that's Rob. He must be listening. He weighs in. He says, "I'll be your Comic-Con buddy, TJ. I can talk the nerd talk better than most. I can talk the nerd talk better than most, and then smash them for being worthless faggots. Nerd rage." That's hilarious.
Right, there you go. Yeah, I mean, all you need is a buddy to go with, and you're good. You know, you can sit there and laugh at everyone together and yourselves. You know,
I'm trying to think of what I would like to be. If I like what I'd like to dress up as if I went to go do that, and I can't really think of anything really good. Any suggestions to anybody listening? I will take that, and we will read them on the air like we've been doing all this time. Music. All right. Last night on Facebook, this was the post. Let me read it up. I said, musician friends, much like me seeing Hetfield play guitar and Rob O'Leary's love of butt rock, you had a moment that caught you and dragged you into music. What was it? Before I ask you what yours was, I'm going to read off a couple of the folks that weighed in here. And I wish I knew most, I wish I knew all this stuff, but to be honest, I really don't. My man, Troy Tyrant. He says Triumph's album Allied Forces being played at a junior high dance. I should have really looked this up because I don't even know if that's like a real thing that or if he's smashing me. I have no idea. Sean comes in. He's a lead singer of Concrete Effect out here in Colorado. It says, actually, it was a local band at my high school that was an amazing cover group. I was so blown away that normal people could play music and not just rock stars that I bought a guitar the next day. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
April.
That's awesome.
She says, I'm no musician, but I love this more than life itself when it was a wee one. I just wanted to be her real bad, and it's a cover of Joan Jett looking very sexy in a...
That's awesome.
In a pink...
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. There have been times where I wish I was Joan Jett, too.
me too. Weird. Anyway. let's see how. Oh, hang on. Oh shit. Rob just came in with something amazing. Let me find it. Oh my god. Please just dress up as George Takei and make awkward homosexual advances at younger nerd dudes. That's a fucking great idea, bro. Yeah, him and I need to get after this Comic-Con business. My buddy Nathan, this is going to be funny. He comments, he says, Matt, Dave, and God, who was that other guy? Oh, yeah, TJ. We did a battle of the bands when we were in high school. We wrote this ridiculously horrible pseudo-metal song, and we actually won. So that was kind of a nice little shout-out.
Wow, that's awesome.
I haven't seen him in a while, so that was pretty cool.
It's great to do things, like, jokingly, and then they turn out really awesome. That's kind of how Legless happens.
Yeah, I just watched that again. That shit is so funny. I love it.
Thank you. I mean, it was pure ridiculousness, but, you know, sometimes that translates into awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Stevel, he's a guitar player for a band called Flood of Souls, who's, like, mildly blowing up. Not really mildly. They're getting a lot of attention in the Denver area. They just got back from a tour, and I hope to have them on here pretty soon. Alex, metal is not dead. Shut up. It's getting there, though. He says, oh, I forgot to say that in the post, I posted a picture of James Hetfield with the giant white Explorer that says Eat Fuck on it back from the Justice Tour. So his comment was basically the picture that you put there captures a huge chunk of it, and I know that he's a big Metallica and Hetfield fan. Psychotic. I hope you're listening, sir. I I really enjoy your company, and you're a pretty man. He says that he heard Cream and Pink Floyd on vinyl when he was 3. End of life as we know it kind of moment. That's amazing to me. Let's see. I also want to know, you know what? Hang on. Rob says, he just posted a video. It's Scorpions in Trance. Let's see what this is. I want to feel like he's lying, but can you hear that?
No.
I wake up in the morning and the sun begins to shine.
I don't know what this is, but I'm not listening to it. and there's a few others we'll get to later on. Like for music, what was it that really grabbed you and brought you into metal?
Well, brought me into metal was I had an older sister, and she was 8 years older than me. So by the time I was about 8 years old, she was really heavily into hair metal. And so she was the one who exposed me to all of this stuff, and I was just enthralled from the beginning. And I didn't even, the visual aspect, like, I had no idea about until later. So, you know, that was a whole extra little kind of amusing thing for me. But, I mean, it was the first music I was really exposed to as a kid, and I was hooked from the beginning. And it wasn't completely the first music I was exposed to, because when I was 5, my parents enrolled me with piano lessons because they were trying to find activities that I enjoyed, and they were having kind of a hard time with it. And so they're like, oh, well, let's try music. And so I picked up, as a 5 to 8 year old, you know, I didn't learn anything really crazy, but I definitely enjoyed playing, and I knew that I wanted to continue to play music. And so when I actually began to listen to music, and I started with bands like Motley Crue and Metallica, I mean, you can't fucking go wrong.
I agree with you. My whole thing, like, and I've said it, and I don't think anybody gives a shit at this point, but I was like just super sheltered when I was young. So like my whole music when I was a kid was like Elvis and like, you know, 50s shit, which I still love, you know.
Yeah.
Hang on 1 second. Rob says, Scorpions are God, you're a faggot, I'm tuning out, enjoy Metallica, you pussy. So apparently he was serious, but whatever. So like my first thing was, it was way late in the game. Like I was in high school, and I saw the video for Until It Sleeps for the first time, and I was like, holy shit, like what is this? Like I didn't know anything about Metallica. Never heard Sandman. Never heard one, like, you know, the ones that you think that you would have come across somehow, knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
And, but that, for that moment right there, that was it for me. So, yeah, it's pretty sweet. Real quick about like the music scene. We talked a bit about that last time. Obviously you're a draw and you get to play some cool venues up in New England and all that kind of stuff. What's the scene like now? Has it changed at all in the last year and a half? Like,
I would say that it's probably gotten a little bit bigger. I mean, around here, it's a pretty good area for musicians. There's a lot of metal coming out of here, and I think that's partially due to the climate. It's so like brutal and miserable all the time. It's just kind of like, it's a good creative source for metal. I mean, look at countries in Scandinavia and stuff where a lot of metal is coming out. It's kind of the same. They're all just cold and dark and miserable all fucking year, so it's kind of similar here. But the scene's really good here. There's a lot of support, and you know, we're all friends. We all help each other out. We go to see each other's shows and support and help each other sell tickets and stuff. So I think that's something that a lot of other places around the U.S. don't have. So I'm definitely grateful for that.
I want to ask you about like hierarchy as far, 'cause you said the scene is big and you guys all kind of support each other. Is that really like a good thing? I know that sounds like a weird question, but you know, Trevor and I got after it on our first show on Kill Trend, and we were saying how him and I both agree that there should definitely be, you know, dues paid, a hierarchy as far as, like, you know, the bands, like who's been here more, who's been here longer, that kind of stuff. If they're good, if they stink, then who gives a fuck how long they've been around? But do you think that there should be, like, a little bit more, like, you know, I don't know if competition's the right word, but, you know, maybe that's the word.
Well, I don't know, because the thing is, when you have more of a supportive community like ours, what ends up happening is you make friends with each other's bands, and then you just end up playing shows together all the time, and it's a lot of fun. Like, we're friends with a band called Faces of Bayon, and I think we've probably played with them about 6 times now, and we've got a show in September with them as well. It's just, you know, they're very, like, doomy as well, so we know we're a good fit with them, and they're great guys, so, you know, we know that they are reliable as well. You know, they're not going to be the kind of band that drops off a show the night before for some unknown reason. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like this way is a little bit better. There is competition, but it's not... It's a friendly competition, you know?
Isn't that weird? Like, that's something I never thought would have existed as far as metal, you know? Because it always seems like so... It does seem, you know, weird... Fucking Alexander, fuck you. It is weird that there is, like, a coming together, and, like, that kind of stems from, like, you know, support local acts and all, whatever, you know, and even to the point where I'm like, you know, if there's 6 bands on the bill and I only like one of them, then I'm not going to stay for the whole bill. I don't care about the rest of them, you know. If I go check out a couple, like, I wouldn't be like, I'm not listening to that band, that's not what it is. But if there's 4 and I maybe stay for 2, like, that's I'm good with that, you know. It's just weird how it's turned into that, because I feel like then there's no, like, stepping stone out of, like, it's just, you know, playing for fun and hope you make some money, which I guess is fine. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not in a band. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's no money in metal. Everybody knows that.
right. That sucks too. What a drag. We're
it's sad, is what it is.
Yeah. We're coming up to the hour mark here, and I'll let you go because I know it's your only Friday off, and I want to end with a song, and I'm not going to go with the one that you said. I'm going with the one I like. So, one last thing, like, and you don't have to break it down for me too much, but I'm very curious about the fact that somebody like you actually is in a relationship right now.
Oh God. Oh, man, if there's one thing I hate talking about, it's shit like that.
What the fuck?
Nah, I mean, I don't know. I was pretty anti-relationships for a long time, and I was very happy being single, because with my kind of lifestyle, it's difficult. Not only to find somebody who's accepting of all the various different crazy shit I do, but somebody that is willing to put up with not being able to see me for, like, a week at a time, like, you know, sometimes I only see him, like, once a week or something, and it gets a little bit difficult, but...
I'm going to go on record as saying that that kind of relationship is probably going to last a lot longer than, you know, 2 people that are together all the time. That's just my take, but...
You think so? Yeah, it's kind of like absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Well,
like,
not
we're
only
not
that, but, like me...
All the time.
Like me, I'm like, I like being alone.
We actually...
You know? I like having
my
space.
Yeah, I mean, I need my space to do what I need to do, and he needs his space, but it was actually metal that brought us together, because we played a show together last year in September over at Ralph's Diner, and, I don't know, there's no way to, like, sugarcoat this. I'm just gonna say it. I'm attracted to people that I see my traits in. So if I see somebody who's, like, a really hot front person with an awesome voice, like, yeah, I'm going to be really attracted to them. And then when I started finding out more about him, I found out that he was really smart, and he does a lot of different things, and he's very motivated. I'm like, well, these are all qualities that I like to see in another human being, because these are all qualities that I have. So we clicked right away, and it's cute. Actually, the show that I just mentioned with Faces of Bayon in September, we're going to have them on, too. Their band is Innocuous. And it's going to be almost a year to the date exactly since the first show. So it's almost sort of like an anniversary show. It's going to be cute.
Oh, God. Yuck.
Yeah.
That's cool, though.
So, but, yeah, so that's how that works. I mean, luckily he understands me in what I do, and he's in the entertainment industry himself. So I have found that other people in the entertainment industry are much more understanding than your average person who just doesn't understand your life at all.
Right, right. I understand. I slightly understand that. Nobody cares that I do a podcast, so it's not really entertainment, especially if you ask Alexander and Rob, who comes in under the wire with a little smash on me. You're a fat piece of Mexican Chinese piece of trash. Nice way to go, idiot. This show, oh my God, this show sucked, but it's not Nintendo Boob's fault. Shitty host. Please kill yourself, but listen to that Scorpion song first.
Wow.
Fucking jerks. Oh my God. Let's do some plugs, and then we'll kill this thing with a little songy song. What do you got going on right now?
Okay. I'm going to get ready pretty soon to head to my event for Point Society. We're doing like a promo party for it and some filming. So I'm trying to figure out what to wear. It'll probably be latex as usual.
Yay.
Yeah, you know it. And so then, that's my event. What do you got going on?
Well,
that
Sorrow Seed is on iTunes, right?
Oh, yeah. So we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on all that good shit.
You're on Kill Trend Radio, too, now, by the way. Let's see. Far as me, man, it's same old shit. You know, go from there on iTunes. This will be up within the hour for podcast purposes. And I'll send you the link for your folks that were working or whatever. We did it. We had an all right turnout for the show. Could have asked for more, for sure. But I appreciate you coming to do this. Here's what I'm going
to
do.
Thank you for having me again. It's always fun talking to you.
Absolutely, man. Here's what we're going to do. I'm gonna crank up this song, and then I'm going to get back on the phone with you before we kill the show. So, folks, thanks for checking out Go From There on killtrendradio.com. Please like the Facebook pages, Facebook.com/killtrendradio and Facebook.com/GoFromTherePodcast. This was fun, man. I appreciate you. And right now we've got Nemesis Engine by Sorrow Seed.
Awesome. Incineration of the cleansing.